So, Mike, it seems we have a mayor or a candidate for mayor who wants to turn Geelong into a very green place full of trees.
Mm. Doug Mann did make a strong point about greening up Geelong, didn't he? That he wanted it to be a beautiful, shady, leafy town. When you go to towns that are pleasant to be in, there aren't any around that I know of that don't have a lot of trees.
Exactly.
So that's a good point.
The next question is, how is it actually done? And to answer that question, we have three guests in the studio now. And welcome to you, Louise, Tony, and Darren.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I think you should introduce yourself to the listeners. You come from the council, all three of you, is that right? And you have something to do with a vision for this city that is similar to what we just talked about. Louise, maybe you would explain what it's about?
Sure. My name's Louise Alderson, and I work for the Department of Human Services. And Green Roofs is a project that started through the Leaders for Geelong. And our vision for Geelong is a green city with green walls, green roofs, green facades. And we think that that would make Geelong unique. We think there's great opportunities in Geelong to do that. We're a north-facing capital city and views down Moorabool Street towards the bay. If you can imagine green roofs and green facades, we think it would be stunning.
Mm, I'm liking the sound of that. And I've seen it done on certain buildings, but to theme a city like that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Well, can you imagine coming in from Avalon Airport and driving into Geelong and seeing that kind of city that's different to anywhere else in the world and unique in Australia, and have that ability to move from here as a tourist right down to the Surf Coast? It really starts that journey, that tourist journey.
I can see a whole lot of great spin-off technologies there too. We've got a massive amount of water that hits all the concrete here that flashes into the bay and causes problems. If we could slow that down and pass it through these green roofs that slow the process down. Tony, Bale and Water, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how we might bring this about?
I can, Mike. I'm the Strategy and Sustainability Coordinator at Bale and Water and part of the Leaders for Geelong program and obviously working on the Green Roofs Geelong project. I think the idea of having green roofs and green walls from a water perspective is fantastic because, as you said, the urban space means a lot more stormwater and a lot faster, and that can cause problems both in terms of localised flooding and also poor water quality entering the bays. And a lot of people use Corio Bay right out in front of the city, and it's a great spot. And if we can help clean up that water and slow it down so that it's better quality and it's entering the bay at a better rate through green walls and green facades and green roofs, then that can be a really good thing.
Mm. Darren, you come from an engineering background. Can you give us a little perspective? This is sounding a really exciting concept, and immediately you think, well, let's just do it. Let's just get on with it. What are some of the limitations from an engineering point of view, a structural point of view, that need to be overcome so that we can get this in place?
True. Ideally, a number of our buildings that would like to be retrofitted have not obviously been designed to cater for additional roof loading in particular, and wall loading, that's probably not so bad because it's normally masonry. But the roof design is obviously an issue that hasn't been catered for in its traditional sense, and that's something that we have to repackage our engineering expertise and cater to engage with businesses that can, engineering firms that can retrofit and determine the loading of such equipment. The good thing about green roofs is that we're changing the mindset and how we deal with the water, as Tony's described it. We want to engage and embrace the water that falls from the sky, use it for a sustainable means rather than just let it run out to our big pipe systems and be wasted. So if we can capture and reuse that water, all the better. But we just need to reset our engineering expertise to cater for that rather than the pipe system so much. Maybe we just focus on the building.
So if we had a flat roof that structurally wasn't capable of putting a green roof on it, economically it wasn't capable of doing that, that still becomes a catchment then.
It
still becomes a vital part of the system because it becomes the catchment of water.
Yes.
And if you work out, you know, 25 mils per square metre of roof, it's a lot of water, isn't it?
Indeed.
I did the sums on a shed that I had at one stage and I couldn't believe how much water was going down the road.
Yeah, for sure.
So if we, that's the primary source of water. We've got then the nutrients that need to be supplied to those plants.
Yes.
And it's not just green roofs too, because we're talking about green walls.
Correct.
So you might have a flat roof that structurally couldn't take the green roof.
That's right.
But you can certainly green the walls and then use that as the water capture.
Indeed, so yes. That's the ideal scenario, though. Yes, if you can't capture in a practical sense, use the water at least to feed a wall system and you still get the same benefits. And it looks great.
Mm.
I mean, amenity value, you can't really put a price on it, but everybody loves to see beautiful facades, and green walls is one immediately... what's the word?
Visible.
Visible, tangible. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
And they can be used productively too. You can actually use roof gardens and wall gardens to actually grow fruit and produce. It's not limited. What's really unique about Geelong is we're actually a north-facing city, so it gives us a lot of opportunities to look at different types of plants, and particularly some of our more hardy plants that we'd perhaps use down on the coast, which is really exciting for greening Geelong and making it a more livable, vibrant city.
Yeah, and edible gardens is becoming... You look around Melbourne now, the amount of edible gardens there. I was in Apollo Bay yesterday looking at their community garden. If anyone wants to see a good community garden there, we were just modifying the solar heater for the community swimming pool there so that if there was a problem, it didn't put chlorinated water in their tank. So they're using just rainwater off the gymnasium to water the community garden. It's a really nice fit. Looks good. Sort of thing we can do here. Tony, from a nutrient point of view, we've got water coming through garden beds. Can you just tell us about some issues that maybe, you know, we're going to try and get it ticking all the boxes and have thought this through. What issues may be confronted in running water through garden beds and then back into the waste system or the stormwater system?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mike. Green roofs are not as simple as just whacking up a planter box on top of your roof. It does require a bit of thought into the different layers, particularly the waterproofing layer, to prevent any water escaping between the green roof and the roof itself, because that can cause leakage, and obviously leakage can occur in any roof. Mm. Green roofs themselves have there's quite good technology now available that has very long living waterproofing. We were out the other day at the DEPI offices and looking in depth at that spectacular green roof down there at Queenscliff, and looking at the waterproofing there, and that's been there for now over 8 years, and some waterproofing's been on roofs in Europe for over 80 years.
Mm.
So it can be done, and the important thing is that it's not just soil, it's quite a unique combination of media, so layers of water-holding substrate and then media for the plants themselves.
So essentially hydroponics.
Well, in a sense, yes, but also with a strong focus on on trying to retain the moisture under very tough conditions. And as Lou said, when you've got a north-facing roof that's exposed to the elements on a windy day in Geelong for upwards of 16 hours, they need to be pretty tough plants up there. So, so everything that you do to save water and keep that water in that medium is going to be good for the plant and mean less maintenance and better growing.
Mm.
Water is one of those critical issues, and combined with the structural issues of the roof, if you can get those right, then you can have a green roof that's going to last for a long time and give you a lot of service.
Tell me, as a group, have you looked at aquaponics as small-scale urban aquaponics as a source of organic nitrates for plant nutrient?
Well, we haven't at this stage, Mike. The real focus of our project over the last 12 months has been to raise awareness of green roofs and green walls and facades within the CBD by building owners and managers.
Mm.
But you're right, there is a whole raft of great new technologies that are available for building. And we would hope that that's that's where this goes to. Mm. But at the moment, it's the early stages, and to that effect, we've got a seminar happening in a couple of weeks.
Mm. And what I think is fantastic, in some sense, is that you three people are not an NGO. You're not some activists who are trying. You're actually from the council itself. At the same time, I see some obstacles. Because what I hear when I talk, for instance, to hotel owners, shop owners, about whether they would be allowed to even put a single plant in front of their cafe or in front of their hotel, then the council is telling them, no, you can't. There's all sorts of restrictions and rules and regulations and things that stop them from greening just the pavement in front of their shop. So there is something there. And is that a schisma? Is that a...
I'll explain. Unfortunately, council has to follow state regulations, local laws, and the matter of plant pots or A-frames or any infrastructure that's within the front boundary line towards the footpath, there are state regulations on disabled discrimination about allowing the footpath space available for people that can't see to traverse along the footpath. There are some means in undertaking cafe trading still, but we're sort of obliged to keep the sort of standard corridor along the frontage there. Cafe trading can still occur, it's just that we can't always put it at the front right on the boundary line, but they can still do window boxes as long as it doesn't lean into the footpath space. We'll still embrace it. It's just that we don't want to be hard and fast. The council are trying to be open and open to business, but unfortunately we have conditions thrust upon us that we have to follow.
So we interpret the rules, but we need to have a little lateral thinking on it.
I agree.
So how can we be within the rules,
yep,
but still achieve the same end?
That's right. I would just welcome any business to contact council and try and work through some solutions.
Because, can I just put in that obviously it's good that there's a passage and that people, blind people and so on can pass and so on, but how about, is it absolutely taboo to take half a meter from the road, these wide roads which are... Sometimes, you can have two cars next to each other,
yes,
where there's only one car driving. Mm. Would it be so difficult to take 50 centimetres of the tarmac there,
yeah,
for instance?
Think,
think out of the box a little bit.
Yeah. The council has actually endorsed that pursuing actual using car parking spaces for cafe trading. Now, that's a bit of a mindset change, because traditionally it's just been behind the curb. Taking away our, car parking spaces that are, thrust with gold, it's going to have a bit of a business performance for the cafe, but it might deemed from someone who has a business three doors down that has no relevance to cafe trading, they may feel that that's detrimental to them for the car parking supply. But what has been proven in other cities around the world is that cafe trading actually encourages more people to pass,
yeah,
and walk through.
Yep.
So it's a great outcome for everybody. Yes, the business three doors down might seem that he's losing a parking spot, but he's potentially getting 10 more customers walking past his front door.
And if we've got the bike track infrastructure, we've got,
yes,
good public transport that people are familiar with, it's regular, it runs on time, it's clean, it's safe, all those things coming together produce a livable, friendly city, doesn't it?
That's right.
And let their business out on the street, get it out on the street so that we create some ambience, some plants, some music, some restaurants, all those sort of things that will get the city alive again.
Yep.
That sounds great. Louise, can I ask you a little bit about other advantages to buildings that a green roof or green facade could produce?
Sure. Look, I'm just thinking, when I first came to Geelong many years ago, I actually used to come here to visit friends, and I can remember walking into the centre of Geelong and seeing the Civic car park, and I used to think, gee, that's a very big concrete building. aesthetically challenging building. And I just think, imagine if we could put a green facade on that, the difference it would make, yeah, and how stunning it would be. And one of our project aims is we're hoping there's a toilet block in Eastern Beach area, and we're hoping that our vision is that we could see a green roof on that, and we're hoping to transport that vision to other people, and we're hoping that that might be something that we could achieve within this project.
Mm. Heating, cooling, how does it affect the building's performance?
Well, that's probably one of the great benefits of green roofs, is the potential for, cooling buildings in the summer and keeping buildings warm in the winter. And, you know, that's certainly one of the great advantages and certainly has been picked up around the world. So it's not just the aesthetic, but it's also the value, that heating and the cooling effect that it has.
What about acoustics within the city? Is there an improvement there? Does it soften the, rather than reflecting off concrete walls? You would think that there'd be improvement there, wouldn't you?
You'd think that it would actually stop the echo bounce or the reflective noise that you get associated with particularly traffic. The trees and the foliage has been proven to actually take off the peaks of the acoustics. I'm not an engineer in that regard, but it's definitely been measured as being, it takes off the peaks of the acoustic noise and reduces the echoing effect. So that'd be great.
Tony, if I'm a business here in the Geelong region, why would I want to put a green roof, green facade? What would be attracting me? What would be the benefits?
Mike, it's a great opportunity for you as a building owner in Geelong to show that you really want to make a difference. It's a really visible sign of your commitment to revitalising the city of Geelong. It's a way that you can show your staff, your stakeholders, your shareholders, and probably most importantly, the broader community, that you're here to stay and that you're doing something positive about this city.
Mm. Louise, who are the people who have picked up on this from your experience so far, having gone as far as you have with the leadership program? Who's come in behind you to say, yeah, let's push this along?
Look, we've had a lot of support from GMHBA in Geelong. They've got a green team and they've been really part of the journey with us and really enthusiastic about greening their building. And they'll be part of the seminar on the 21st of November.
Mm. Darren, we talked a bit about commercial buildings in around Geelong. If I'm a house owner here, yes, locally here, what could I do to get involved, to do this, perhaps apply this concept to my own building?
Well, a proof of example in practice what you preach. I'm actually doing my own treatment on my own back shed. It's not the most prettiest shed in the world, but I think that I would like to introduce a wall and capture the roof runoff into that vertical wall. I'm trying to be as sustainable, as ecological as I could. I'm actually going to try and use recycled milk cartons, cut the bottoms off, turn them upside down, and plant some veggies and what have you into there, and recycle the water into the bit of a hydroponic type process. But I think we can do it, and the roof's big enough to capture enough water to make it work. And if not, I'll have to top it up with a hose pipe. It's not the end of the world.
Can we get some before and after shots?
I'll try and endeavour to do that.
Because we're going to post them up on the...
Okay.
You're going...
You heard it here first.
So what's your next step now? You have an idea. You have a vision. What are you going to do?
On the 21st of November, we've got a seminar at Deakin University starting at 5, and people are welcome to register for that at Eventbrite. We're really encouraging people to come along. We've got some very exciting speakers to speak. We've actually got the Green Roof Guide Walls and Facades people coming along to do that, and we're really excited. We've also got Hisham from Deakin University, Councillor Hegney, who's confirmed that she's able to attend. So we've got a very good list of people. We've had a lot of support from Deakin University, the council in Geelong.
And what's the general feeling at the moment? I mean, we're pretty close now, so is it going to be filled with people who are interested, or is it sort of half full room?
We've had a really good response, and we're hoping, we've still got spaces for more people, so we'd really encourage people to go onto the internet and apply through Eventbrite Green Roofs.
We'll put the link up.
Fantastic.
We had Stephanie Asher in Merrill Canada this morning. She said that she'd be there. She's pretty keen. And we started off talking about Doug Mann, potential mayor. So it sounds like there's some interest at that level. We've got to really leverage that at this point, doesn't it? It just sounds too good an opportunity to miss.
Look, it's a fantastic vision for Geelong, being a local person,
yes,
who lives here, being somebody who sees that, you know, we've got some challenges in the area, particularly around attracting business and attracting people. And I think that green roofs will make Geelong a just more attractive city to live in and to want to be a part of. And I think that will help generate business. And
so the 22nd of November, that's when the votes have got to be in for the mayor as well. So it's D-Day.
It could sort of be a visualization of a vision written in words, which would be something about how we want to see the future of Geelong, couldn't it?
It would.
and visuals on it. Have you got somewhere where people can go, listeners can go, to have a look at the sort of concepts that we've got in mind? What cities are doing it well? What websites they can go to? Where can people do a bit more research on this?
Yes, you can. In fact, only today I became a Facebook user, so I've been dragged into the 21st century by screaming. My colleagues. Jason will be delighted to hear that. So you can go to our Facebook page, which is Green Roofs Geelong. And also we have a page on the Committee for Geelong website. And also you can find us on Futureproofing Geelong. So we're being well supported by Sam and Terry and the team at Futureproofing. It's in terms of the visual images, we've actually just commissioned some work to get some oblique aerial images of the city actually dressed up, if you like, to show what is possible, and we'd hope to have that ready by the seminar.
You can imagine a city, the roofs that can't structurally, from Darren's point of view, can't structurally have green roofs on them, they can have photovoltaics on them. So the visual from Google Earth, we're going to see photovoltaics and we're going to see green roofs. That's the future, isn't it, really?
So we have to end here. Time is running. Tony Overman, thank you very much for explaining about the water details, and Louise Orderson, good luck with the seminar in a few days. And Darren Saunders, thank you for talking about the engineering aspects of this whole thing. Thanks a lot for coming. And we also have a Facebook page. It's simply called facebook.com/thesustainablehour. We also have a homepage, climatesafety.info/thesustainablehour. We are recording this, and then we put the sound file out as a podcast so you can tell others that they can hear this. If you think that this was something valuable that they should hear, you can send a link, which I think is a great thing. And you can see pictures of the three of you sitting here in the studio. And
we need to put some, we'll put some promo material on the event. What's the name of the event again?
Green Roof Seminar Geelong.
The Green Roof Seminar Geelong, 22nd of November.
No, 21st of November.
21st of November.
Yep.
Deakin University.
So that's all from the Sustainable Hour this time, and see you again in a week's time, says Mick Eid and
Mike Lawrence.